Blog Talk Radio.
Wanna see us down. Down. By the bottom of the mat.
Uh-huh.
Other shows ain't worthy.
Uh-huh.
Every topic cut at 8 o'clock Monday and Thursday.
What's
on the Miss Lee? We new to these streets.
Yeah.
The best in radio. Why tell us if we already
know?
Hey,
hey.
You know, tell them what you went for.
Yeah.
Just hit the phone line. Get some info.
Hello?
That's 347215651
uh-huh.
Nine.
Uh-huh.
Simple. Jot it down if you need a pencil.
Woo.
It's official. If an issue, we can get you. If you call, we
call.
Can get you. Say your name, say what's on your mental. It is what it is, right here with Miss Lee.
What up?
It's time to start the show. We damn right.
We damn right.
Get me.
Monday night's heavy topics,
we gonna talk about. Thursday night, whatever's popping,
we gonna talk about.
Miss Lee's on a mission. Stilettos and combos division.
What?
To get people talking.
Huh?
To get people listening.
Alright.
As the show grows, you know the guest list. It goes.
Uh-huh.
From R&B divas to stars from those TV shows.
Okay.
People making a difference. Footprints.
Combos.
Combos and poets. Artists with dope flows. The elements represent, as he said, go pro. People making things happen. People making things go. From TV to film and even music to talk about the things that people say and the things that they do. Let's get it.
What's going on? What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your girl, Miss E, bringing you the hottest news, entertainment, weather, sports, gossip, politics, health, technology, world news, and media updates that has happened over the last week or so. Thank you for tuning in to the show tonight. Every Thursday night, that's what goes down. We talk about all the hottest topics that's hitting the airwaves, the news waves, and everything in between. You know how to connect with the show, as always, on Facebook. Go ahead and like the Facebook page, Stilettos and Combos with Miss Lee, as well as follow us on Twitter, Stilettos, S-T-I-L-E-T-T-O-S, C-O-N-V-O-S. On Twitter, follow. We'll definitely follow you back. And follow me on Instagram, I Rock Stilettos. Yes, sir. As always, my boy T is rocking with me on this Media Field Thursday. How you living, T?
What's up, Lee? What's good, good people? We in the house Thursday, getting ready for the long holiday weekend. I wish I was starting my holiday weekend tonight, but, you know, one more day of work.
Yes, lucky you, because I have two more days of work, so... So, yes, for everybody enjoying this extra weekend, definitely be safe. I can't wait to chat with everybody on Monday. Monday's topic is actually like a milestone day in the Stilettos and Combos history book, because Memorial Day was the first day that Stilettos and Combos really took a leap of faith out on its own and aired on our own network, which was Bliss. So we aired Memorial Day. I think that was like the first time I met UT in the studio, Richard Glover, like craziness. That was like 2 or 3 years ago, something like that. That was a minute ago. But I remember that first episode like it's yesterday, and you know, definitely stay connected to the show pages, because I'm going to be posting those old episodes soon. So you guys can take a trip down memory lane and Stilettos and Combos. But I can't believe it's been all that time that we've been hitting everybody with a lot of topics and good stuff. So time has definitely flew by like crazy. But download. So much to talk about, some interesting things that's hit the airwaves. The one thing that I definitely want to talk about tonight is Freddie Gray. Baltimore is in the news, and this is updated as of today. I'm getting this information from NBCnews.com. And a grand jury in Baltimore has indicted the 6 officers in the death of Freddie Gray. This happened in an early evening news conference. State Attorney Marilyn Mosby, who's like, she's real gangster with this, reels off the charges handed down by the grand jury against the officer. Cesar Goodson Jr., William Porter, Brian Rice, Edward Nero, Garrett Miller, and Alicia White. The grand jury's charges differed slightly from those filed by Mosby on May 1st, when she announced the results of her office independent investigation of Gray's death. Some of the original charges included false imprisonment and assault were dropped in the cases for some of the officers, and new charges, including reckless endangerment, were added against all of them. So, Mosby, she did not explain why it happened, but she did say that other additional information was discovered, and it's often this is an ongoing investigation. So, So, I don't know. I feel like people knew that this was going to happen, but is this a kind of happen official? You know,
I don't think people knew that it was going to happen. I think people really were expecting for it to be another instance of no justice. I mean, I did not have hopes up, you know, of there being any justice served. I mean, even when you look at the facts, when you go out there, you know, there's people that's arguing, you know, for the police, like, oh, the police shouldn't have to be tried for this. Like, there really are people that think the police didn't do anything wrong, and all the fault is on Freddie Gray. I still haven't read or seen anything that said he actually committed a crime to be arrested for. Now, regardless of the fact that he had a criminal record, doesn't mean that he did something. Like, there's no evidence that he got arrested for anything. And like, he didn't do anything worthy of being arrested. And my whole thing is, like, where, you know, people are out there, like, Blue Lives Matter, and if the cops go down for this, then, you know, it's a wrong thing. When can we get past the blue wall of silence? And
you said the blue wall of silence.
The blue wall of silence. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, you think gangs got a no snitching policy? Cops got a serious no snitching policy.
Yeah, they do.
And they get past this and say, if you wrong, regardless if you a cop. Or regardless of if you're a criminal, if you do wrong, you gotta pay the consequences for it.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure that this is gonna be appealed and fought. This ain't over, because you know once those indictments were handed down, you know the police union was like, oh, we're not going to stand for this.
Because even looking. He was, and this is when he was arrested, like you just mentioned, like you don't really know what he was arrested for. There was anything justifiable. He was charged with being in possession of a switchblade. Now, I don't know if that's a charge, if it was a probation violation, if he can't have any weapons or anything, but that was what they arrested
him. Yeah, but there's even argument to that, though, Lee, because they're saying that, no, the knife that he had was illegal. The knife that was in his possession was legal for him to have in his possession, was legal for him. I guess, you know, the stipulation of the blade had no longer in the width of your hand or person's hand. So, you know, there's argument as to, you know, whether the knife he had was this. And then even at that, like, how would they knew that when he looked them in his in their eyes and decided mm-hmm. to go the other way? You know what I'm saying? Like that, like
right.
that's like reaching. You're looking for anything. You just chased this man down and potentially harmed him in the chase down. And now you're looking for anything to throw at him to justify your action.
Right. Yeah, man. It's and just to read off, I would like to definitely, I'm going to read off some of the charges that they're indicting the police officers with, because some of them have changed since the first press conference. The grand jury indicted Johnson, who was the Augustin, he was the van driver, with second degree depraved heart murder, involuntary manslaughter, second degree assault, manslaughter by vehicle gross negligence, manslaughter by vehicle criminal negligence, misconduct in the office, and reckless endangerment. Porter, who rode in the van with Gray and the other officers, was indicted for involuntary manslaughter, second-degree assault, misconduct in office, and reckless endangerment. Rice, the lieutenant who initiated the chase with Gray, was charged with involuntary manslaughter, second-degree assault, two counts of conduct in office, and reckless endangerment. Nero, one of the two officers who helped Rice in the chase and the arrest of Gray, was charged with second-degree assault, two counts of misconduct in office, and reckless endangerment. Miller, another one of the officers who backed up Rice, was charged with second-degree assault, two counts of misconduct in office, and reckless endangerment. White, a sergeant who looked in on Gray during one of the van stops, was charged with involuntary manslaughter, second-degree assault, misconduct, and reckless endangerment. Now, the question that I have, and I guess this is something that, you know, I'm definitely going to research on my own, and even I posted the article on the Stilettos and Combos with Missy Facebook page and on Twitter, but to know what the penalties are, like, you know, for second degree assault.
All right, so the penalties are 5 to 25. Like you can find out what the penalties are on the Maryland Criminal Code, and it'll tell you what all of the code what for everything from assault to everything. Like I looked it up because at the time I was trying to figure out what crime did Freddie Gray commit. That
right.
he was arrested for. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like there is no it's not a crime to run away from the police. If you're not actively being arrested. Like if you're on the street and the police look at you and you look at them and you run away, that's
mm-hmm.
not a crime. You didn't do anything illegal. So
so
and looking this up, you know, Maryland Criminal Code,
mm-hmm.
you know, I start to come across, okay, so, you know, the penalty for murder in the first degree in Maryland is I think, I want to say, like, 25 to life or death. Like, I think Maryland still has the death penalty. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at things like assault, you can get up to like 25 years for assault. You know, so it's very interesting, and I think people should just know what it is. You should know just for general knowledge of this is
right.
the stuff that you could go to jail for, and this is how much time you actually can get for some of these things.
And
you know
it
what
really
saying?
Depends on too, like. You know, a lot of things, like, you could be charged or indicted, you know, for these various charges. But, you know, it depends on, they didn't say how lawyers were involved and, you know, and how the cases are stated and what the jury, you know, comes to the conclusion on based off of how the cases are presented and, you know, if it's the first or second or third time that these officers have been in a situation with previous cases or not. So these you know, the first step is the indictment. You know, the second step is, you know, seeing how the case kind of plays its course, because, you know, that's going to be the next step in this whole situation. But yeah, it is definitely good to kind of know, you know, what the consequences are.
But I'll bet any amount of money that half of those charges get thrown out, because they try to charge them with as much as they can. So when they get slapped on the wrist, the small charges that'll get thrown out. If anybody goes in for manslaughter, that'll probably be the officer that initiated, and
right.
he can still do like up to 25 years in prison for manslaughter. So don't think just because, oh, it's manslaughter, he'll get away. Now, the likelihood of him getting sentenced to 25 years for manslaughter is likely not going to happen. So,
right.
I mean, and it's going to be a difficult case, you know, because anything, like especially with murder one, you have to have intent. Even with murder two, second degree murder, you got to show intent. So it's going to be incumbent upon the prosecutor to show, oh yeah, when he chased him, he had malicious intent to fatally injure, you know, Mr. Gray, which is going to be it's going to be difficult to prove. You know, it's going to be very difficult to prove, because the police are going to say, hey, we were doing our job, he did something suspicious, and that was the reason why I chased him, because he aroused my suspicion. And that's going to be their thing. They're going to go about it as, hey, we were doing our job. Now, where they might get caught is their negligence. So if they get pinned on anything, they'll probably get pinned on negligence.
Yeah. And definitely the driver of the van got hit with the most charges than the other officers. That just kind of, you know, and I guess that's because Freddie Gray ended up dying due to the van ride.
But that's what they're saying. That's what the police are alleging. Freddie Gray died due to him hurting himself in the van, and because he wasn't strapped in the van, it becomes, it was the van. It becomes the fault of the fault will fall on the paddy wagon driver. You know, that's his van. That's his responsibility. You know what I'm saying? He's supposed to make sure that the prisoners are transported safely and properly. So yeah, because that's their story. Their story is he died. He died while in transport. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that is their story. So
Man, we shall definitely see how this unfolds. I posted an article with all the other details on the Sluttos and Combos with Miss D Face-to-Face. So take a look. Today is Big E's birthday, May 21st. Big E, the notorious B.I.G., would have been 43 years old today had he lived to see this lovely day of May 21st. And I know Big E was definitely in my top five of favorite MCs. Or rapper. So, you know, I feel like we should play some Biggie. But before I do, T, do you have a favorite Biggie track that you like? Because I know you're an avid hip hop fan, and I know you love all types of music.
I do, but Biggie is not in my top five.
He's not in your top five. Okay. Do you have a favorite Biggie track nonetheless?
I do have a favorite Biggie track, and that's not to take anything away from him. It's just that I like other MCs a lot better than I like Biggie. But for me, I would probably say My favorite Biggie track was probably the What with him and
Method Man. Yeah, I like that one too. Yeah, I mean there's so many. Like when I take my trip to Jersey, you know, like I do really like, you know, you gotta have your rider music, you know, when you heading on 95, because it just can be an all over the place kind of ride. But I have a, like, compilation of just some tracks that I love, and when I listen to them, it definitely, like, gets me in that zone. And some of them are Biggie tracks, some of them are Nas tracks. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I listen to. But one of my favorite Biggie tracks is Dead Wrong. And I also like the 10 Crack Commandments. That's also a favorite of mine. I like him also on some remixes. Of course, I like the Flavor in Your Ear remix. But I like some of those classic ones that he appeared on, and even the collabs that he's done. So, you know, rest in peace, Biggie. You know, it's interesting
now,
to see.
Don't get me wrong. There's a few tracks. There's quite a few tracks I like Story mm-hmm. to Tell and Kick
oh, yeah.
in the Door.
Yeah.
And also, Everyday Struggle is another one of my favorites. But, yeah, I mean, for me, you know, like, I would probably say my favorite Biggie track is probably the What with him and Method Man. Because
mm-hmm.
I like the chemistry between them. I also like the chemistry between him and Jay on Brooklyn's Finest. But
Brooklyn's
that would
Finest
be
too, yeah.
a Jay-Z track featuring Biggie.
Yeah.
So.
Biggie, can't you see? Just saying. One More Chance, one of the tracks that you hear in every club across the country that still kind of gets you in that rolling sexy mood. But all the ladies in the video being sexy, Biggie just rocking out the house party in the video with Heavy D and Puffy and everybody else. You're listening to Hot Time Wasn't with Lynn T. Biggie Smalls, One More Chance. We'll be back.
Long. 40 work tears until I handle my biz. There I is, major pain like Damon Wayne. Blow down dirty even like his brother, cheating, scheming. Don't leave your girl around me, true player for real. Act tough, that deep. You bringing bells, look backs from Chanel. Baby Ben's traded in your Hyundai XL. Pulling your quick CD changer with the cell. She beat me at 12. Where you at? Flipping jobs, playing card notes. While I'm swimming in your women like the breaststroke. Right stroke, left stroke, what's the best stroke? Death stroke, tongue all down the throat. Nothing left to do but send a home to you. I'm through. Can you sing the song for me, boo? With pearls, get a boost for girls. The envy of all women, crushed linen, Cartier wristband with diamonds in it. The finest women, I love with the passion. Your man's a wimp, I get that man a good thrashing. High fashion, flying in the all state, sexing me while your man. Isn't this great? Your flight leaves at 8, the flight lands at 9, my game's just for wine. Lyrically, I'm supposed to represent. I'm not only a client, I'm the player president.
One more chance with his wife, he stay in the background singing on the hook with all them other ladies. You're listening to Hot Convos with your girl, Miss Lee, and T. We're bringing you the hottest convos and topics that's hitting the airwaves across the country. If you didn't know, speaking of Biggie, Faith Evans announced on Love & Hip Hop on Monday when she went to visit Stevie J on the show, that she's coming out with a compilation album called The King and I, and it's going to be a duet remix with songs by Faith Evans and Biggie Smalls. So that should be out, if not by the end of this year, the beginning of 2016. So I know that's definitely going to just, people are going to go and get that, especially since they love Biggie and they love Faith. So she said that was something that she wanted to do for a very long time, and she thinks that now is a good time to release it. So she's working on it.
I think it's appropriate. I mean, for the woman that was married to Biggie, I think that's very appropriate.
I think so too, and I feel like that's gonna be nice and hot and fresh. And you know, I'm not sure if she has some unreleased music or if she's gonna remix some of his other tracks and kind of put her voice with it and kind of do something cool with it. But I know Puffy tried to do something like that with the Biggie duet. I think that was like the 10-year anniversary of his death or something like that. There was a Biggie duet, and they just kind of remixed all his tracks. So this one is going to be called The King and I with Faith Evans and Biggie Smalls. So. And I think it'll be kind of cool if their son also got on the track, because Christopher Wallace Jr. is also a hip-hop artist too. So that would be kind of cool to kind of hear him. You know, and his dad on the track, and then him and mom. You know, they can kind of have fun with it. So look out for that, The King and I. Next up in the news, man, this kind of hit the media by airwaves on Monday. So I don't know who tried this or how this kind of came up in conversation, or if it was like a diversion, because, you know, things just kind of happen out of the blue to kind of take your mind off of stuff, and you're like, what? So, on Monday, everybody on the internet went crazy, because if you type in Google Maps, Nigger House, N-I-G-G-E-R House, you'll get on the map, the map of the White House. So, N-I-G-G-A, so I typed it in wrong. I typed in E-R. Hold on, let me go back and see if it's still there, because when I typed it in the other way, it wasn't there. So it went crazy. everybody went bananas. It was a big issue. Oh, that's off the date. They fixed it. But everybody was going crazy. It was on the news. Roland Martin was talking about it this morning. And T, you even mentioned that at one point in time it was Nigga University or Nigga College, and it brought you to Howard University.
Yep.
So, yeah. So many people had reasons why. Some conversations was held about this Google search in the map. They were saying that Google is a search engine that kind of takes all of what people search for and kind of
If you don't understand the way the computer searches, it's called a Boolean search. So what it does is it searches for all of the instances of Nigga and all of the instances of Howard. It'll try to put them together. So, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone out there, some racist out there somewhere, if they've been using that, they've been saying that all along. I mean, because,
right.
You know, taking it out the search, and I don't think, like, there's too many searches. The internet is too big for Google to think of every negative thing that somebody might possibly search on. So, you know, they made an uproar about it. It's fixed. You can't do it now. They fixed it. You know, okay. But somebody ignorant out there has done it.
Yeah. And, you know, because at the end of the day, people still look at President Obama as the N-word because that's just the racist country that we live in. I mean, we deal with these injustices and such every day. But I think
they keep trying to tell you that it's not a racist country.
Time.
They keep trying to tell you it's not racist. This country isn't racist. And people are quick to tell you, I don't own any slaves, or I didn't put you any slaves, or my father or grandfather didn't put you. But there's a thing about white privilege. Being argued and debated all over academia, all over everywhere, and people are saying, "Oh, that doesn't exist." I think it's getting to the point where if you are of color and you try to say that something is wrong because people that are not of color are getting a certain privilege, now you're being reverse shamed and be like, "Oh, yeah, that's a racist thing to say." Why would you throw the race card out there? So now is I think the way the media is playing it now is that you're being shamed for playing a race card, even though something legitimately can be looked at. Like when you look at all of this stuff, like with all the police shootings and, you know, what's going on with people of color being killed in police custody or being killed by police, you know, it desensitizes people to it, and it desensitizes people to the issue. But, I just think now, like, just things are getting so out of hand, and there's such a hypersensitivity about everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything is not racist, and everything doesn't have a racial undertone. But you got to look at some things and you got to say, oh, this just isn't fair. Like, I just saw a video the other day where in Texas, somebody was videotaping this, and they said, this is the response. Now, they were legally licensed and able to carry an AR-15. So that's an assault rifle for people that don't know what an AR is. So you know, they showed a video of a white guy walking down the street with his AR-15 strapped to his back. It was out in the open. It was strapped. He was walking down the street. When the police came up to him, the police officer said, hey, God, why do you have the gun? Do you have a permit for that? And the guy showed him the permit. And, you know, pretty much was left on his own. But then they showed the black guy walking down the same street with the same gun, he has a permit too. Like five cop cars come out, had the guy get on the ground, put his hands on his head, and put the gun to the side. He took the dude's gun and everything else.
Wow. Yeah, man, it's the world we live in, the double standards, the all of it. It's just, I don't know, T. I don't know. It's
I think the media has done an excellent job of portraying anything of color as inherently being criminal.
Right.
And we can't get away with it. Look at the bikers. The cops were there.
Of the bikers.
The cops were there. A lot of people got killed.
Nine days after a Texas biker gang mass shootout, this happened on, what day was this?
Sunday?
It might have been Sunday or Monday. A law enforcer said, in my 35 years of law enforcement experience, this is the worst violent and gruesome scene I've ever had to deal with. So, they said, and it's funny because they label this as, like, white police have not identified the gangs involved. So, like, why can't it just be police? No, I'm sorry.
They weren't calling them gangs at first. They were calling them
bikers. They weren't. They were saying how you had 9 people killed in the shootout. You don't call the National Guard. You don't, shut down and put curfews in. And they're calling this incident a brawl as opposed to what was happening in Baltimore. They said there were at least 3 rival gang groups there at this location for whatever reason.
The police were there on hand before any of us started. The police were there. They knew all these bike gangs were coming, but my understanding was they were coming to talk about how we're going to split up the territory and go about our business. Our illegal business.
Oh my God.
I heard a comment on a radio the other day, and they said let this happen in Black Bike Week in South Carolina at Myrtle Beach. What the news coverage would be like, how they would be so quick to shut it down permanently to never happen again.
Right.
And then
not only
reading
that,
the comments,
because in Bike Week in South Carolina, Black Bike Week happens the week after White Bike Week, right? So they happen week after week. It's just, one demographic goes first and then the other one goes after. But yes. And there were 192 people arrested.
How many people were injured? You know what I'm saying? And then I've read some of the comments. Now, this is what sickens me. Some ignorant commenters said bikers only kill other bikers. You know, by luck, bullets don't got no names on it. When you in a shootout in a public place.
Right. But the crazy thing about
justify
it is
that.
People, and ladies and gentlemen, the funny thing about it is people were going around saying the same thing about black-on-black crime. You know, how do you expect other people to value your life if y'all killing each other? Like, that's the same thing that you're saying, but flipping it on a different type of race. Like, that's just bananas to me. Like, how do you expect people to want to save your race if you're not even saving your own? But then you have white-on-white crime, and you have 9 people dead. And, these are known biker gangs. And these are, older white people. Like, crazy. Crazy.
No, but I saw one article the other day that tried to put a face to it, and it was a black retired cop that was part
Lord.
Of it. So there again, that's where I see, you know, the media, like, you can't trust everything. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nope.
All right, they put a face on it, and the first face that you see is a black retired cop. Like, seriously? Like, this black retired cop was part of this. So, and then they tried to make it like, that's the stuff that you don't throw the race card at everything, but you see the undertones. It's like,
right.
I mean, I see them saying that he was a retired cop, but how much digging was done to actually find that out? You know what I'm saying? And why not put other people, post other people? Why not do a whole, these are the main suspects? Oh, and by the way, one of the suspects is a retired police officer. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you look at stuff like that, like, what I saw was this retired cop with a mugshot of, you know, this black guy. And I'm like, and that was, other than everything else, that's what you saw. And it was like, to me, that's when it's like, oh, people really don't get it. Like, people that are not of color really don't get it. Like, because, like, people are trying to say, like, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, there's equality in this country, and no one's a second-class citizen. Well, if you haven't come from the ranks of being a second-class citizen, you don't know what the oppression is like. If you've never experienced racism, if you've never, you know, had to be in those shoes, then you don't know what it's like. And it goes the other way too, because there's plenty of white people that grow up in black neighborhoods that face it from another direction. But when you look on the larger scale of the country, it's like, well, you know, no, we don't have equality. And we got away with affirmative action, I think, way too soon. And people really don't get the undertone. Like, oh, you just trying to make it into something. No. When those undertones are there, they're part of a pattern that has been going on since Willie Lynch.
Yeah,
if you don't know who Willie Lynch is, look it up.
It's been going on a very long time in this country, and it's like, I don't know, you know, and I've said this, you know, many times, you know, when will things change? When will we really overcome? When will these changes really take into effect? And, you know, I hope you definitely have to start with your hometown and make those changes in your communities and try to change this stuff, you know. And I don't know what the theme of the up-and-coming, you know, debates and election will be, but I feel like these racial issues and might be a good piece of the conversation, you know, as opposed to all of the international crap that we're talking about during political debates and such. So I'm very curious to see how it goes, but I posted the article on the Stilettos and Convos with Missy Facebook page about what happened in Texas, so you guys can definitely take a look at it and get all your details.
Lee, I was going to say one more thing. On the big scheme of things, race is a distraction. It's a distraction because it's no longer about race. And that's the race is the issue used to distract poor people from looking at the real issue. Is the wealth inequality.
Right.
This is a distraction to keep people looking at what the real issue is the wealth inequality. Like,
right.
I don't have no problems of people of any race. Because I look at you equal. You a person just like I'm a person. I don't have, like, we all equal. Like, in my eyes, the way I feel and the way I see things is we all equal. But what I really have a problem with is those that are greedy and of mass means and mass power and mass resources to keep everyone else from getting those same resources and those same powers.
Right.
And those people that are high up will be like, oh, no, we're not doing that. That's a conspiracy theory. You're lazy. You're not working hard enough for it.
Right. Oh, Lordy, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Hot Convos. We're talking about the latest in the news. When we come back, we're going to talk about some new movies that's hitting the airwaves this weekend that looks a little scary, as well as some mental updates, too. It is Mental Awareness Month, so New York City is definitely making a change in some help for people dealing with various mental illnesses. So I'm going to let you guys know some updates on that as well. If you have any thoughts, also call us. Phone lines open 347-215-6519. It is the number. Let's keep it rolling with some more music. And, let's play a little The Weeknd. Earned it. Hey, I'll still have a convo with Miss Lee and T.
I'm a kid for you. I'm a kid for you. Never confused. Hey, hey, I'm so used to being you. So wrong when you hold me back, 'cause I hate when the moment's expected. So I'm a kid for you. I'm a kid for you. We live in our lives. Hey, hey, you're my favorite kind of night.
Girl, you're perfect.
You're perfect.
You're always worth it.
weekend I earned it from the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack. I didn't even know it was from that soundtrack, but that song definitely has a very, very freaky video. The Weeknd always got some weird, freaky videos. I just don't understand it. Like, in the video, he's singing on the stage, and you see these girls with their butt cheeks out with X's on their butt cheeks. I don't really know what that got to do with the song, but, you know, it's one of them sexy tracks that the people love. I'm just saying. You're listening to Hot Convos on your girl, Miss Lee. Closing out the show with some more news and updates from the entertainment world. You've been seeing this all over the news and the media. Today is Red Nose Day. And Red Nose Day is a day that started in Britain in 1988 to raise money for poverty-stricken children in the UK and in Africa. This year, this fundraiser has extended over across the water to the U.S., and NBC is airing a three-hour special tonight. So it's pretty much sponsored by Comic Relief UK, an organization founded after the 1985 Live Aid concert. And before, this was a telethon started by Bob Zamunda, and it was hosted by Robin Williams, Whoopi Goldberg, and Billy Crystal. This British event is held every 2 years, and there are also Red Nose Days in Finland and Germany and Iceland. So pretty much with this Red Nose Day, they raise money to help with poverty. So, you know, it's kind of exciting. A lot of people have been posting their pictures. There have been different apps you can go to. NBC.com, and you can do a virtual nose on any of your pictures, and you can share it. And I think I even seen a commercial at, was it for CVS or was it for Walgreens? It might have been Walgreens, where you're able to go to Walgreens and buy a red nose. So they're partnering with a lot of retailers, and you see a lot of pictures in, on NBC.com with different football players. They have a whole little set with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's really funny seeing our old coach of Philadelphia rocking the red nose. It's real cute. You know, Kathy Lee Gifford, Muhammad Ali has on a red nose. Like, it's just all across. So it's some fun, fun times to just kind of raise money for people that, you know, need some good, need some support and some love and some money. So I'm posting that on the Stilettos and Convos with Miss Lee Facebook page. You can find out how you can participate in Red Nose Day. Some fun stuff. Some movies, T, is hitting the airwaves, ladies and gentlemen. This week, some of them I'm a little terrified of and don't know if I'm really about that life, but we'll see how I feel. But coming, you know, in the next, this weekend, so normally around holidays is when we get some good movies that hits the movie. So Poltergeist is coming back out. I don't know about you, T, and I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. But I was kind of scared of Poltergeist as a child. Like, I watched it, and I still will watch it today, but it still kind of makes me feel weird on the inside when I do watch it. But the previews for this 2015 Poltergeist look crazy as hell. It looked a little scary. I don't know how I feel about it. But, Tim, you want to go see Poltergeist? Were you a Poltergeist fan growing up?
No. I'm not a fan of horror movies. That's not my bag. That's not my cup of tea. Like, for me, it's like, you know, some stuff, like if I happen to watch it, Like, I've seen all of the Freddy movies and, well, most of them. And the Nightmares on Elm Street, the Friday the 13th, and the Halloweens. You know, mm-hmm. I've seen some of the, what's the movie with the dude, the Jigsaw. I've seen movies like that. But it's, it's not really. Oh. Yeah, it's not really like my bag, right? And I learned that like in my early 20s when I was watching Hostel 2, and the blood and the gore of it, I was like, oh no, nah, this is too much. And like, what you bring into yourself through your eye gates, your ear gates, your mouth gates, nose, ears, what you bring in through all of your senses does have an effect on who you are as a person. So, like, you know, like a whole lot of ultra violence, like it affects you. You know, seeing a whole lot of sexuality, you know, it affects you. So like for me, like when I start looking at stuff like that, and it's about, oh, this demon or that demon, or you know, this devil or this evil spirit, like I'm not about that. Like I would rather not entertain my thoughts or myself with, you know, things of malevolent nature.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I should have a show topic on that. But, you know, I am a little different in my thinking when it comes to that. I look at things as entertainment, and that's just what it is. I'm not really heavily influenced by what I see. But Poltergeist, I don't know if they're going to keep continuing on with Poltergeist 2 and 3. But, you know, it looks like they are remaking the original with Carol Ann, but it's a new family moving into a home in the neighborhood that the old family in the 80s lived in, which is kind of interesting. But the special effects in 2015 in this movie look real crazy, look real scary, like the clowns and the tree grabbing the little boy, and then the chairs stacking themselves in the kitchen and all that kind of stuff. Kind of creepy. I don't know how they're going to do it without the old lady to come in and say this house is clean. I don't know what they're going to do with that. But that hits the theaters tomorrow. So check it out if you're into that. San Andreas with The Rock, talking about the big earthquake that hit San Andreas in California that comes out May 29th. I don't really do well with the world-ending kind of movies, like Day After Tomorrow, 2012, Deep Impact. Those kind of movies where, like, natural disasters to just take out people, I don't really do well with that. That is kind of, I don't like them kind of movies. But if you watch The Rock and you want to see the big earthquake in California, check that out. Entourage, which was a TV show or a series on HBO, I believe,
yeah, it was on HBO.
Entourage is coming out in the theaters June 3rd with all of the original characters and actors from the series on HBO. So all you Entourage fans, because that show went off the air like a year or two ago, if you're into that, that's your thing. I don't know if we're going to start to see a lot of TV series or cable series turn into movies, so that'll be interesting to see how that works out.
They did it with Sex and the City, and they had two of those movies. And they're actually talking about doing another one. So it just depends on, like, Entourage was one of those TV shows, like, when it went off. You know, people were like the way it went off, it set it up for a possible movie. So you know what I'm saying? So like, it's not a surprise. And of course, everybody wants to see what, you know, what the guys are doing. What's up with Vince and Ari and Turtle and you know, and the rest of the gang. You know, but you know, from I used to watch Entourage. It was interesting, and you know. From Entourage, to me, was a first. Was something that was created for the TV show actually now being a marketable product, which is the tequila brand Avion. Avion Tequila was introduced in Entourage as a tequila brand that Turtle was trying to get everybody to invest in, that he was going into business. And that was the first time that I could remember, you know, something like that happen, instead of having something that's already out in the real world and then being blown up by a TV show.
Right. Yeah, maybe, I know it's on Netflix. Maybe I'll catch it and kind of get into that. There's just so many shows that I'm just waiting on my Orange Juice and the Black to start back up, and Power and all my other shows. But
you know,
I know
Entourage,
a lot of people that used to like it.
You know, it's loosely based on Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, okay.
And he is the executive producer behind it.
Okay. I like Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's
but
loosely
that,
based
that will
on
be out. That comes out, what was the date I said? June 3rd. June 3rd. That hits the theaters. Jurassic World hits the theaters June 12th for all you Jurassic Park fans. And I hear that that one is going to be better than the second and third one. I like the first one. After 2 and 3, kind of was like whatever. This one looks crazy though.
This year has, for me, has been a very slow year for movies. Like, there's not a lot coming out that I'm like, oh, I gotta go see that in the movies. So much of the stuff that's coming out is like, I'll watch the movie.
Yeah. Terminator Genesis is coming out July 1st. Ant-Man is coming out July 17th. So,
now, because I'm a fan of Marvel will get my money every time.
Yeah. We shall see. A lot of good movies. And we still haven't gotten through the end of the summer. I'm hoping we get more of a release date for July. Specifically, July 4th of July week is when we get a lot of action movies that kind of hit the theaters. So it's interesting that the
only
one...
that's changing.
You know,
Spider-Man, they started moving these movies up. You know, Fast and Furious 7 was the first, like, blockbuster movie. And that came out in, what, April?
April, right. So
there is no longer a summer season now. Like, it's just, do what you do.
So many good stuff. And then, in closing out the show, I wanted to talk about mental safe houses. So this is May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and a lot of programs and a lot of events are going on to bring awareness to anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, and a lot of other mental issues, which is definitely something that's near and dear to my heart. Due to my own experience with anxiety and that kind of a thing. So New York City has now opened free mental safe houses. This is a program that is helping New York adults with mental health issues and those who may be on the brink of a psychiatric crisis. The name of the organization is Parachute NYC. It's a federally funded project more than 2 years in the making, have created respite centers where guests can check in and talk through their concerns and see as the staff members who have their own experience within the mental health system. These centers are a soft landing, community-based alternative to emergency hospitalization. So a lot of times when people have mental issues and anxiety, people automatically go to the hospital. And then, with medical insurance not being able to cover a lot of medical bills, you end up going there and they give you medicine, they hook you up to a heart monitor, you end up with this crazy copay and all these other expenses when it might be better for you to go to a place that you can get support for your anxiety and your, the different things that kind of cause you to have an episode. Steve Coe is the CEO of Community Access. He is going to be the person ahead of this Parachute NYC. And it will be a safe place to help. People can come in voluntarily. They can stay up to 10 nights if they want to. The doors are never locked. There are no needles. There are no medications. There'll be fresh cooked meals. And there'll be staff members to assess the level of need. Medical attention can be recommended if a staff member says that it's necessary. Without facilities like this, many adults have no other option but to go to a hospital. They're also going to offer phone counseling, a mobile treatment center, and I think this is really, really good. And the fact that, they have pictures of the rooms, they're very nice, they're simple, and you have that level of support. So I'm excited to see how this will take off, and maybe there will be these different safe houses across the country. At least one or two in every state will be helpful, especially since people don't know. If you've never experienced an anxiety attack, you don't know. You think you're dying. You think you're having a heart attack. You think something's going wrong. You don't know, and your immediate reaction is, oh, my God, I can't stop breathing, or, I can't breathe, or my heart feels like I'm having a heart attack. You just... things go real crazy in your senses. So to be able to have a stopping ground before you go to the hospital, I think is great.
Yeah,
great option. So I'm posting that information also on the Stilettos and Combos Women's Day Facebook page. So find out, New Yorkers, if you need some home, you know, some place to go, for some assistance in your mental situation, you have a place to go. I love it. I like good stuff like that. I like happy news, T. I like good stuff. Makes me happy. Not crazy vibes who like to shoot people and be crazy. Just saying.
I just saw something that made me happy on Facebook.
What's that?
That's what I want right now. A bacon wrap mozzarella stuffed burger.
Bacon wrap mozzarella stuffed burger. That sounds good. Anything with bacon on just makes me happy. I'm just going to put that out there.
Well, that will make me very happy right about now. No bread, it's just bacon.
Bacon
and burger and cheese.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need that
good
in my life right about now.
I know that's
it's not
right.
The most healthy, but damn
it still makes you feel good on the inside, though. That's important.
Yeah, I would love to try it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another edition of Hot Combos. We will catch you on Memorial Day Monday. A fun conversation on cookouts and etiquette of the barbecue. For all of you that love barbecues and cookouts, we're going to play some good cookout music. We're going to have some good conversations on barbecues and barbecue etiquette and cookout do's and don'ts and all of that stuff. Got some great comments that I have already hit the Facebook page on some questions that I posted. What are some do's and don'ts of barbecues? What are some unwritten rules of the barbecue? What are your thoughts on some food that should always be at a barbecue? What are some things that should never be at the barbecue? We're talking about that. We're talking about some good music, all that stuff to kick off your barbecue season. We're going to have some fun with some good cookout food. Good cookout food and conversation. Hell, I might even grill me up a hot dog and eat it specifically for the show, like while we're talking. I might do that. That's probably a no-no in the journalism world of America. However, I break the rules. That's just what I do. So be sure to tune in at 8:30 as we talk about the etiquette of the barbecue. You know, have a safe Memorial Day weekend. You know, hug your family members. You know, hug the family of a lost or a fallen soldier. You know, if you are going out to the D.C. area, there's going to be a lot of events going on for those fallen soldiers that have gave their life for our safety and our freedom here in the U.S. of A. So, you know, it's not Veterans Day. So please don't mistake the two, because Veterans Day is different than Memorial Day. But, just show some love and to those families that have lost people in those various wars that we have fought. And, T, have a great weekend, you know, and eat a hot dog, a lot of them for me, with some bacon wraps on it, because that sounds good.
I know, I'm going to have some bacon wrap something, because my man Whaley is shuffling up the homies' barbecue this week. So, you know, shout out to all
right.
The homies. We get together, do our little reunion every year, so that's this Saturday. So, shout out to the homies.
I know that's right. Have a conversation this week and see you catch you on Monday, 8:30, same place, same time, same channel. Be safe. Catch you then.